Once again this morning, welcome. We're glad to have you here with us. This morning we have the special opportunity to have a missionary with us. If you don't know what a missionary is simply someone that has been called of God to go to, well, we're all called to be missionaries, but is called to go and tell people about Christ wherever that may be. And Jordan and his wife Nikki, as I said, have been called of the Lord to start in the Philippines. Maybe the Lord will move them one day in the future. But I've been kind of sharing with you some exciting things that he was able to share with me a few months ago over the last few weeks. I'm glad that you're here this morning to be able to hear some of these stories from his mouth and not mine. So enjoy this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you this morning, and been looking forward to this. And I'm sorry my wife's not with me today. Last night she started to feel sick, and so I left her at home this morning so she could kind of recuperate. Yours as well. So maybe something's going around right now. But she is sorry she's not able to be here. But I'd like to begin by just sharing a little bit about myself and my wife and how we have ended up on this path going to the Philippines, and how God has placed us on this journey. I grew up in church. I was literally born into my home church down in Hutchinson, Kansas, Westside Baptist there. Grew up in the nursery. My parents were already members there. Grew up through Sunday school, learning the Bible, learning the different stories about Moses and Aaron and David. I just loved getting to be there every week and getting to learn from the Bible and memorize verses through our Awana program on Wednesday nights. And actually, at the age of 9, I accepted Christ into my heart as my Savior and prayed to receive Him. But, you know, still growing up, you know, I was a pretty good kid. I was in church every week, and, you know, I was really just living for myself. I thought I pretty much had it taken care of. You know, I'd accepted Christ, and so I was really just focused on myself. I was a me-first kind of Christian, and I was really challenged in that mentality when I got to middle school. I went to camp one year, and I remember that camp very vividly, especially the last night of the services there, when the speaker got up and he shared about the martyrs of the Christian faith, men and women down throughout the centuries who, when faced with a decision to either renounce Christ and live or choose Christ and die, they chose Christ and gave up their lives. And oftentimes this was done in the endeavor of taking the gospel to foreign countries and sharing Christ with people who'd never heard Him before and facing opposition in that task. And I'd never heard any of these stories before. And it really kind of shook me up and kind of made me stop and think, because I realized if I was in that position, I would probably renounce Christ. I was living for myself, and I really was not living for Him, but I wanted that kind of passion. You know, as I recognized what Christ did for us, the sacrifice He made, the death He laid down His life for ourselves, I realized I wanted to serve Him so fully that I would do whatever He called me to do, even if it meant giving up my life. And I wanted to be willing to surrender anything He called me to. And so that night, I prayed to God and I said, "Here's my life, Lord. You know, just use me however You will. Just, I want it all to be for You and You to be in control." And so that night was kind of the first step that's led me on this path towards missions, as I began to realize that, man, I was so blessed to grow up in church all my life, to get to hear the Bible stories in Sunday school, to always have the Bible in my home. And yet there's people out in the world, in other nations, who have no clue who Jesus is, who do not have a church in their community, who do not have a Bible there that they can read from. And I began to feel burdened about going to those people and sharing the hope of the gospel with them, sharing the good news of Christ. My wife, similar story, grew up in church at a young age, accepted Christ, and from the start, she always was fascinated by stories of missionaries and wanted to go overseas and be involved in that kind of work. And as she grew up, she developed a talent for art as well. If you looked on our back table there, there are two pieces there she, in the entryway that she actually made using her artistic ability. And she always wanted to find a way to use that talent. She felt like God had blessed her with that ability, and she wanted to use it for God somehow. But she didn't know how that would work out. She ended up going out to work at a summer camp in California for 7 years and finished college out there with an art degree, and was still kind of trying to figure out what God had in store for her. And then God brought our paths together, and we got to meet up again. We actually knew each other in high school. She grew up in Kansas City on the Missouri side, north of the river, and at a good church there. And our pastors were related growing up, so our high school youth groups would get together and do summer camp, and did a couple missions trips to an Indian reservation in South Dakota, and again another missions trip to inner city work in the Bahamas, in Nassau. And so we got to know each other in high school and kind of liked each other then, but she was a little older than me, just a couple grades ahead, and so she had went off to college and, you know, kind of left the little high schooler behind. And so our paths went separate ways, and as I said, she had went out to California and graduated out there, and I went to Bible college down in Springfield, and we hadn't seen each other for 6 years when God brought our paths back together there, and we got to catch up and saw that God still had us both on this path of wanting to go overseas and serve Him and go out as missionaries. And from that, you know, the rest is kind of history. I won't bore you with all the details of that, but God has brought us together to go together to the Philippines. And my first acquaintance with the Philippines really began when I was in college. I had the opportunity to do several internships with a veteran missionary over there in the Philippines, to work with him, learn from his ministry, and just be a help to him. And God used those experiences to really burden my heart for the Filipino people there and cast a vision for what He was doing there in the Philippines that's led us to go back there today. And just a little bit about the Philippines. It's a island nation in the Asia, Southeast Asia, over 7,000 islands in the Philippines. We will be on the largest one, in the capital city of Manila. And as I was talking with Brother Steve, that you know, he had heard that there's great revival going on over there in the Philippines, and God is really doing some amazing things there. As I shared with your pastor about what God's doing there, really the only thing that's holding us back in the Philippines is not receptivity to the gospel. It's a matter of numbers. The population there is just growing so rapidly that it's hard to keep up in sharing the gospel. In the last 10 years, the population has grown from 70 million to nearly 100 million. The capital city of Manila has doubled in size in the last 10 years and now has 20 million people in that city. And less than 3% of that population professes Christ as their Savior there. It's growing so rapidly. And to kind of put in perspective the city of Manila in a way that you can relate to, the Kansas City metro area, I was looking this up, and depending on the sources you look at, but the whole metro area extending, you know, from Bonner Springs out to Independence and Green Valley and Liberty down to Belton and Harrisonville, that's a population of about 2 million people spread out over 8,000 square miles, or otherwise about a population density of about 260 people per square mile. Well, the city of Manila, as I said, 20 million people there spread out over, or if you could say spread out, over a land area of about 250 square miles, which is a population density of about 45,000 people per square mile. It's just crowded, it's dense, it's congested, there's just people moving to that city, and it's just inflating in size. But it's a great opportunity for us to reach literally millions with the gospel in one place. And so we're excited to be a part. We're actually joining a team of missionaries and Filipinos there to reach that city with the gospel. As I said, I've been over and worked with a veteran there, and we are going to be working with him and several other missionaries. His name's Greg Lyons, and he actually grew up in the Philippines. His parents were missionaries there. He's gone back and been there about 20 years now. God's really been blessing his ministry. About 14 years ago, he felt led to start a new church in the metro area by a high school there named Rizal High School. And this is just one of many high schools in the Manila. This one high school has 40,000 teenagers in it. 40,000 teenagers. Can you young people imagine going to school with 40,000 other young people in one place? It's just wild to see. Just hard to imagine, but 40,000 young people here, and there's no missionaries near this school, there's no Bible teaching churches near this school, and so there's a void there. And he developed a passion for reaching these young people with the gospel. So he started this church there 14 years ago. And slowly was seeing people come to accept Christ and come into the church, and some young people, but many of them were still reluctant to enter the doors and come in. And so he decided to try something new. He decided to take a bunch of young people to a summer camp setting where they would have fun, get to play games, sing songs, you know, have a good time, but then they would hear the gospel. And so that first year, he took 300 teens to this camp. Over half of them accepted Christ at the end of the week. It was just clearly God was opening a door here for the young people to hear the gospel and respond to it. And so from that, I'll be showing you a video from last year's summer camp, actually, if you want to cue that up. But the camps have grown over the last 10 years to the point where every year we've been able to add weeks to the camp season and add literally months of camps added on, and to the point, and more students coming each and every year. And I'd like to show you a video that shows the impact the camp has had on some of the young people there and how many heard the gospel last year at summer camp. And then I will continue. So, you know, just incredible numbers. Many young people accepting Christ as their Savior, but still such a small percentage of the 20 million in that city. And, you know, there's intense poverty there. As you saw, the people there at the beginning living in trash dumps even. Many of these young people, when they come to camp, it's all about breaking down the barriers there in their heart. For many of these young people, it's the first time they've had running water. It's the first time they've had their own bed to sleep in. It's the first time they've had 3 hot meals in a day. And so they begin to ask questions. Why do these people care? Why do they love us? Why are they doing this? And it just prepares their heart when the message is shared to respond. And camps has grown to the point where last year we had camp season run for 5 straight months, 3 camps a week, continuously to accommodate, to bring all these young people to camp so that they could hear the message, so they could hear the gospel. And many of them are coming from just tragic, heartbreaking, broken backgrounds. Sin runs rampant there. When you put 20 million people together in a small space, you know, sin is going to, you know, run wild. And the problems we face in our own culture here are even more advanced there in some ways. Gang violence, homosexuality, alcoholism, drug abuse, all of these things are plaguing the young people there. And as you saw, many of them are turning from that and putting their hope in Christ. But there's more work to be done. I just want to share about one of the young people you actually saw in the video, the first young man, Dadong. As it said, he was trained to be a killer. When he was a young man, as a young boy, his parents had both passed away, and he was orphaned. And all of his relatives, none of them wanted to take care of him. None of them wanted to open up their home and let him in and care for him. And so he grew up being kind of shoved aside, pushed from home to home, sometimes spending the night out on the street, not knowing where his next meal was coming from, and just longing for acceptance and love and somebody to care about him. And as he got into high school, he ended up joining a gang there. And as it said, he was trained to actually go out and assassinate other gang members from rival gangs. And this was the life he was falling into. It was just violence and drug abuse, and he spent time in prison before he was even 18. But somebody had the courage to go up to him and invite him to come to summer camp. And the first night, he was really just there to have fun, so the message was shared. He slept through the service. He really didn't care what was being said. He was just enjoying himself. The second night rolled around, and the message was shared, and again, he was sleeping through the service. But on the third night, he perked up and was listening, and the Spirit was moving in his heart as he heard about the Savior who loved him and wanted him and valued him. And that night, he went forward and accepted Christ as his Savior. And now, as you saw, he's a changed young man, going to Bible college, wants to be a pastor, wants to share with other young people who are in gangs and see them come out of that lifestyle. Just one of many, many, many stories, similar stories going on in the Philippines today. But as I said, it's a numbers game. There's millions more out there that have not heard, who still need to know about Jesus Christ, who still need the message. And that's why we go and are partnering there with the team. And our team is coming together because we want to see literally hundreds of churches planted in the Philippines, hundreds of churches in the metro area. you know, one church is not enough to reach 20 million people. We need many, many churches there. And so we will be involved in a new church plant. And then we'll be teaching it in Baptist Bible College Asia, the college you saw mentioned in the video. Currently, there we will be able to train Filipinos for ministry as well, prepare them to go out and be pastors and missionaries and church planters. Currently, there are 1,000 students enrolled in the Bible College, 1,000 young Filipinos who want to serve God with their lives, who want to make a difference in their country, and who want to go out and share the hope they've received. And through them, you know, God is going to do something incredible. Literally, doors are being opened for the Filipinos to go out as missionaries into other Asian nations where Americans are restricted. In communist nations like Cambodia, we've seen graduates go into and start to plant colleges. And we've been able to send teams of Filipinos over to some of the Middle Eastern nations to take small trips and begin to do some church, camp ministry there with native pastors. And we've seen great success seeing them get into those nations as well. So God is preparing to do something all across Asia with Philippines as just the starting point. So we are excited to get there. Our prayer is to be in the Philippines by the end of the year. But we still have a ways to go to get there. We're about 70% of the support we need to get there. And so I just ask you to first and foremost pray that God would continue to lift up partners that could help us reach the move over to the Philippines and reach the people there. So we are ready to get there. We are ready to join in the ministry and make a difference with the people there. And so just pray for that. And just pray that God would continue to provide our needs and take care of us and just continue to do all of that. And we'd love to keep in touch with you, build our relationship with you, learn how God's working in your lives and share what He does in ours. Out on our table, we have an email sign-up sheet that you can sign up for our monthly updates. And we always respond when somebody replies to us and always love to share and hear about what's going on in your life as well. And so we'd love to keep in touch that way. Right now, I'd like to go ahead and transition into the message, though. If you got your Bible, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 28, and we'll begin there. Pastor Nathan began with a great scripture reading, looking at kind of the Great Commission as Christ sent out the disciples and said, "Go and be a witness to the world of what you've heard and what you've received." And I'd like you to look at another passage here first, before we jump to a few others, here in Matthew 28. Another Great Commission passage here in verses 18 through 20. And Christ speaking to disciples here in Matthew 28 says this, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And before we continue on, let's just go ahead and pray real quick. Pray over the message and pray for our hearts to be prepared for it. God, we just thank you so much for this time together, and I pray that you would just be working in our hearts as we hear your word, that we would cherish it and love it and just take it to heart, that we would obey your commands to us and that we would continually seek to apply your word in our lives. And I pray that we'd have a wonderful time of fellowship focusing on you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We're here in Matthew 28, as we said, another passage where Christ commands the disciples to go out. And really, it's a command that stretches down to us today even, to go out and share, make a difference in this world. Tell people about Christ and the sacrifice He made for us, His death and His resurrection. And really, when you boil it down, it all comes down to this, that we have received good news, that Christ came and died and rose again, and we are to share that good news. We're not to keep it to ourselves. We receive it, and then we give it out. And that's the command He gives us, to share our faith, to tell others what He did for us. Because there's a world out there that is hopeless and adrift. They're seeking purpose and meaning in life, but the world has no meaning to offer them, no ultimate deeper purpose. But we know the truth, that we were made for a purpose, that God loves us, and He's the Creator God that wants to be involved in our lives, and that He is, you know, the only true way to enjoy life to its fullest, and the way that God meant us to live. And those people, we have the good news they need. That's what this passage is all about. But really, this idea that God wants to use us to make a difference in people's lives doesn't begin here in the Gospels with the with the Great Commission, but it's really at the heart of all of God's Word. If you look at it from cover to cover, our God is a missionary God who desires to redeem people to Him. And I'd like, in the interest of examining that, I'd like to turn all the way back to Genesis chapter 12 and look at a passage there. Genesis chapter 12. We'll look at the first four verses. But all the way back in Genesis 12, here we see God speaking to one of His most well-known servants from the Bible, Abraham. And we see here, beginning in verse 1, it says this: "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great." Before we continue on, I just want to begin there. God comes down to Abraham and offers him this covenant, this great promise, that He's going to do amazing things in Abraham's life. In fact, He's going to use him to be the father of a great and mighty nation that would follow him. And He says He's going to bless him and give him wealth and take care of his needs and all these things. And we see that beginning there. Abraham is receiving a promise, but then continuing in that verse 2, it says, "And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless thee, them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." God wasn't content to just pluck Abraham out and say, "I'm going to bless you and do these things in your life." His command, His promise came with a command, "And thou shalt be a blessing." And that's the case always in our lives. When God blesses us, it's always with the intention for us to bless others. Whether it's with just our finances and our wealth, to bless those around us in need and to bless the church. Whether it's with just our time, whether it's with our energy, whether it's with the good news we've received. Every blessing we receive from God is always with the intention that we will share that blessing, that we will pass it on to those who need that blessing. And He says, "In thee all families of the earth shall be blessed." Here, you know, that's a promise foreshadowing the coming of Christ through His line. But that had an immediate fulfillment that needed to take place in Abraham's life. And you see it in the next verse. If you look at verse 4, it says, "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him." Lot's Abraham's nephew here. And that verse always stands out to me because God didn't come down and speak to Lot. He didn't audibly come down to Lot and connect with him. But He told Abraham to go to this promised land. Before Abraham left, his first natural inclination was to go and tell his family members about what he had just heard, the great news from God. And it made such an impact on Lot that his nephew decided to follow him to this promised land, to learn more about this God, to learn more about what was going on here in his uncle's life, and about the promises he had received. And really, Abraham, from the start, had an obligation to share God's blessings. In fact, later on in Abraham's life, he is referred to by the word, Hebrew word of Nabi. He is God's Nabi, which we know that word is translated over 300 times in the Old Testament as the word prophet. You know, sometimes we think of prophet as someone who is predicting the future, but literally that Hebrew word, Nabi, prophet, just means spokesman. It means anytime you declare God's word, you're being His prophet. You are His Nabi. You're His witness, as we read in Acts chapter 1. And so Abraham had a responsibility to testify to the world around him of the Creator God. And it continued on. The children of Israel, although they were a chosen people to follow God, they had a responsibility to testify of God to the rest of the world. I mean, they had the Levites, the priests who led them in worship, but elsewhere in Exodus, it says that the entire children of Israel are called to be a royal priesthood to the rest of the world. They were called to point people to God. They were called to take the blessings of God and share them with those around them. But as we see throughout the Old Testament, time and time again, they lost sight of that. They were selfish. They kept the blessings of God to themselves. They didn't have any kind of heart of compassion for the world around them. Instead of commanding others to follow God, time and time again, they decided to go and follow these other nations' gods, to fall into idolatry and paganism. And time again, you see this cycle. In fact, the only time you really see a missionary outlook in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, is Jonah. And we know how stubborn he was about that. He wasn't real willing or compassionate on those he was called by God to go and take the message to. But then we get to the New Testament and Christ and the message we receive there. It'd be easy to say, you know, well, that was Old Testament. What does that have to do with us? But if you will, I'd have you go to Galatians chapter 3 and look at another passage there as well that ties this all together, this idea that God is blessing us so we can be a blessing, that He is giving us His Word so we can share it with the world around us. Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9 says this. Paul's writing, a great scholar of the Old Testament. He knew backwards and forwards these stories, and looking backwards at Abraham's life, he saw a parallel to the Christians of his time. And he says this in verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And I like how he ends the chapter in verse 29. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. He says, we as people of faith have a connection all the way back to Abraham. It may not be a physical bloodline connection to him, but we are heirs according to that promise he received. We are his children in faith. And just like he was commanded to receive God's blessings and to be a blessing, we too. That's what the Great Commission is all about. That's what really the whole Bible is about, is putting others first, sharing, valuing them, taking the initiative to go and tell them the good news we've received. And that's what the Great Commandment's all about, right? To love God first and love others. To care about them so much that we would step out on faith, even put ourselves in uncomfortable situations at times, to share with them what God has commanded us to share. Now, I like this quote from the theologian Matthew Henry. He said, those who through grace are themselves delivered out of a sinful state should do what they can for the deliverance of others. And that's really just what I'd like to challenge us today on, and just to have us remember that God wants to use us, all of us, as Pastor Nathan said, all of us as His missionaries, all of us as His Nabi, His prophets, His spokesmen to the world, to declare the glory of God to those around us and share with them the hope that we have received. Because it's such a great and blessed hope we have. And hopefully it's made a difference in our life. It's transformed us. And once we were like the rest of the world. We were in darkness. We were lost, adrift, without God. But somebody, for every one of us, there was somebody who came to us and valued us enough to share Christ with us. And that's why we sit here today. And God wants to use us to be that person to someone else. In our neighborhood, in our family, at our workplace, wherever it may be, God has a plan to use each and every one of us to point people towards Him. And everyone may not respond to the message, but at the very least, we are called to share that message with those around us. So I just, let's go to God in prayer. Let's go ahead and stand up and go to God in prayer and just take this to heart. And I'll turn it over to Pastor Nathan after the prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for your love, your great love for us, that even though we were your enemies, even though we were separated from you as our righteous God, we were unrighteous, we were steeped in sin, we were cut off from you, and yet we were in rebellion against you, and yet you loved us, you valued us, you decided to cross that gulf that was between us by sending your perfect Son to come to this earth to live and model for us just how we should live for you, who, knowing no sin, was still taken to the cross, was put to death to take the punishment for our sins, and then you raised him from the dead as a promise of